Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Atlanta Falcons FalconCast for AtlantaFalcons.com. I'm Matt Moore, filling in for the vacationing Jay Adams. He's probably got his feet up, you know, barefoot up in sunny Buffalo, New York right now. So, Jay, I know you're listening. You say you're not going to listen to any or pay any attention on your vacation, but I know you can't help it. So, hope you're having a nice vacation and getting some R&R. And as always on the FalconCast, we're joined by Daniel Cox.
Hey.
How we doing, Daniel?
I'm good, Matt. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, we had the golf tournament this week, which is always fun, the Coach Smith Golf Tournament. Got to watch some good and bad shots on the course, which is always I like to chill out at hole 17 and film some of those.
The closest to the cup, who won that?
Zach Klein from WSB.
Nice.
It was cool. So the first group that came in were the coaches group. So it was Glenn Thomas, Dirk Cutter, Keith Armstrong, and Pat Hill. Funny story. So Pat Hill goes first, sticks it, probably 15 feet. Then Glenn Thomas goes, he puts it 8 feet, and he has the closest to the pin most of the day until Zach Klein comes in. Keith Armstrong goes, probably puts it 12 feet. I mean, it's not an easy shot either. As you can see on AtlantaFalcons.com, it was a tough day for the shot.
Yeah.
So Dirk Cutter is last to go, and he turns, and Coach, this is where Coach, you know, is stationed. He gets a shot for you, and Dirk Cutter turns to all of us, and Coach especially, and says, I guess I should hit mine in the water so you actually think we're doing some work around here. You know, so it was, and then Coach says, yeah, we might need to change our hours. So it was a fun day, and then, of course, we got State of the Franchise Thursday night, which is always a really fun event, and we'll have this podcast posted before that. So if you listen, it's a really good event. They're gonna fill you in on the stadium, players. It's really good to hear from Rich McKay about the stadium. Thomas is gonna tell you about the draft. Coach Smith's gonna tell you about the offseason workouts, and Arthur's gonna fill you in, from the ownership. And so it's a good event. West Durham hosted, does a great job. So if you can't make it to the Cobb Energy Center on Thursday night, we'll be broadcasting that live, and it'll be archived on AtlantaFalcons.com. So, you know, it's not draft week by any means, Daniel, but there's never a dull week around here.
No, there's not. Vacations are going on, like you said, with Jay, but this is if there's anything close to a dull time, it's right now. There's not a lot happening.
Coach Smith, I had to film him for PSA the other day, and he came in, you know, kind of like it looked like he had just come from a meeting, a little stressed about having to do this PSA with me. I think he forgot that I was in his office waiting for him. And he said, Matt, there is no off season. It's just the non-playing season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are able to take a few days off, and it's good. But this business really has turned into a 12-month-a-year
absolutely
business. So it's good, though. That's A.
No doubt.
It's because it's such an awesome game, and, you know, we're in a fun industry. So it's – we're not complaining at all. So, Daniel, I see that, you know, I do enjoy the podcast with you and Jay. I love when I get to fill in. Brings me back to my olden days when I used to do this with Jay, Mike, and Jay and a little bit. So it's always fun. I love filling in. And I saw your topic, the Mount Rushmore topic that you threw at me before we went on. And that's interesting. So who did you go with?
Yeah, you've had a couple of minutes to think about it.
Yes.
So, but real quickly, just frame of reference, profootballtalk.com, probably the world's most famous and popular football website, just strictly football news. They're running their Mount Rushmores of each franchise. And Jay and I had discussed this a couple weeks ago. We were kind of tying it in with the Final Four in Atlanta, and we were picking our Final Four players from the franchise and sort of a Mount Rushmore as well. So Jay and I had ours, and then today, Matt, you're gonna go ahead and announce yours.
I see you went with... You went Nobis.
Nobis, Mr. Falcon, Deion Sanders, Arthur Blank, Coach Mike Smith. Jay had Mike Smith, Tommy Nobis, Jesse Tuggle, and Arthur Blank.
All right, so I'm going to cheat. And my Mount Rushmore is in Arthur Blank Park. So Arthur Blank owns the park.
Okay, fair enough.
He's the owner of Mount Rushmore. Arthur Blank owns this Mount Rushmore. Because I when I wrote it down, I was like, oh. Arthur should be on this Mount Rushmore, but I'm gonna stick mine just to players. Arthur owns Mount Rushmore on my Mount Rushmore.
Fair enough.
So I'm going Tommy Nobis, of course.
Right.
I mean, when I first got here, I had been a Falcon fan. I grew up in Atlanta, and when I got here in 2004, I didn't know as much about Tommy Novus as I should have.
Yeah.
And I think that's just kind of how it's been. And when we did the Ring of Honor, I had to edit a video of his highlights, and I was blown away by this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, there's one highlight. If you ever, I think it's on, it should be on YouTube, or maybe we can put it up. It's Tommy Novus is trying to be blocked by a fullback, and he just literally with his forearm, just throws this guy, and the guy is off the ground, goes into the running back. And I mean, Tommy doesn't have to make the tackle. It was like a wrestling movie, like choke slams him into the running back.
He's
and
like
I was like, that is insane. And so, you know, I always, and I love talking to Dave Archer and some guys about, you know, Tommy Novus and what if he had played on a team where it wasn't an expansion team?
Yeah.
And what if he were on the Bears? He might be the Dick Butkus these days. And it's just, he was a special player. And so then Deion, I think that's without question, just because the profile that he was and just, you know, you saw what a special player he was. He was the best player on the field whenever he was on there. And, and that's, you know, the fact that, you know, it's really nice that he's come back and he's in the Ring of Honor. And I think when you think Deion, you're starting to think more of him as a Falcon.
Right, right.
With a Cowboy or a Niner or, well, you're a Raven too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Deion.
He goes into the Hall of Fame as a Falcon. And I think that.
That makes him on the Mount Rushmore. I
absolutely
agree. And then I'm surprised neither of you guys put this guy on. And that's Matt Ryan.
All right. Okay. I'll hear you out first, and then you hear me out.
Okay, so Matt Ryan, all he's done is had five consecutive winning seasons since he's been here. Led this team from day one. I mean, it's, you could almost put the reason that I think Jay probably put Mike Smith, or you both had Mike Smith on there.
Right.
I think that's why I have Matt Ryan, is he's been the catalyst. Yes, Ryan and Dimitroff, you know, kind of made the moves, but this guy's actually had to do it on the field, and he's done nothing but be consistent. He's been the locker room leader from the day he got here. I'm surprised neither one of you guys had Matt Ryan on there. And then I have another guy that neither one of you guys had on there. I'm going, and we can go back to Matt Ryan, but my other guy is Jeff Van Note. I mean, I think he's the second Mr. Falcon. Same thing. I mean, consistency. And, you know, he wasn't always on the best teams, but he was, you know, he was blocking for Gerald Riggs and William Andrews. And, you know, golly, blocked for Barkowski, blocked for Dave Archer. I mean, the guy was around forever. I don't have his statistics in front of me. I mean, he played, I want to say, like, over 13 years. Yeah,
69 to 1986.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And at center, no less.
At center, in a time when, if you think about it, you know, the player safety, the CBA wasn't where you just practice for 8 weeks. I mean, these guys were having to have six preseason games, you know, two-a-days with pads.
Yeah.
And doing that as a center from 69 to the 80s?
86,
He's on my Ring of Honor.
Doesn't he have, like, one of those football player finger injuries?
Yes. When you shake his hand, and I'll say the same thing, Tommy Novus and Van Note have the hands where you're scared you're gonna hurt them when you shake their hands, because it's kind of molded into a, you know, almost like a dinosaur hand, you know? It's like... I'm doing the visual to Daniel right now. You can't see it, but
it's kind of like a claw.
Yeah, it's almost like a claw, it just shows what those guys went through.
Yeah,
you know, back then, and what, you know, Rich McKay and the guys have been implementing now with player safety and you know, the CBA, where they can't practice more than, you know, 9 weeks in the off season, and I think that's to make sure these guys don't have hands and knees like Tommy and Van Note do. So those guys are my. So what was your reasoning for Matt Ryan? Just because, you know, Mike Smith was there.
I'm gonna go back to Van Note for a second. 18-year tenure with the Falcons, one of the 25 longest careers with a single team in NFL history.
Right.
This is from Wikipedia. So you know.
It's true then.
Yeah, it's totally true. This is pretty interesting too. 1991, he was voted by the fans as the the franchise's favorite player, and this was 91, the 25th anniversary season. So,
but, I think what he – it's cool. Like, we have some old-timers here that mm-hmm. still work here. You know, they've been here from almost day one. You know, some of it, we had Carolyn Cathy in our finance department. We got Joe Choate and Jim Hewitt in the maintenance and mm-hmm. groundskeepers. And those guys, as well as, you know, like Van Note, they represent kind of the hardworking blue collar people that I think this franchise was kind of like back in the
Absolutely.
Day. You know, it just didn't have all the resources that the Steelers and mm-hmm. the Bears had, but hey, we're going to get by and you know, we're just going to be blue collar about things. And that's how I think that's great that he was voted as the favorite Falcon. Cause I think that's how he played. He kind of represented, think what Atlanta kind of, it's become like, you know, how what it is today was kind of developed by guys like, you know, Jeff Van Noe and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that.
They came to play. With Matt, here's what I said about Matt, and I kind of kicked myself for saying it because we hear this so much. But Matt, give Atlanta a Super Bowl, and you're on Mount Rushmore. Here's what you're right. The similarities with Coach Smith and Matt are there. For me, when I think about we think about head coaches as the leadership. Yes, the quarterback is still part of that leadership center, but coach has done things for the franchise that no one else has done. 5 straight winning seasons, and I know Matt's and every guy is such a big part of that. But he's been the leadership aspect of the franchise, and I just feel like. Yeah, and again, this is, you know, as we sit here today, but I can't help but think, you know, Coach Smith's going to be the head coach of the Falcons, hopefully for a long, long time. And for me, like with Matt, and I think Jay kind of agreed, was, you know, he's been what he's been for the franchise, and we value him, but, let's do something that no other quarterback has done.
No, I got you. Yeah. I got you. I think that's a good... That's a good. I think all these are great Mount Rushmores. Did Pro Football Talk pick? For the
They have not picked yet. No. Okay. No.
That'll be interesting to see. I wonder. I could see them throwing a name up there that you know is not even on there.
Yeah.
Like, God, you think Claude Humphreys and
yeah, absolutely.
Morton Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, Mike Vick, Warwick Dunn, Algie Crumpler are all guys that you know deserve to be in the conversation for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure. That's awesome. I like stuff like that. And then now AtlantaFalcons.com is doing a top 5 hardest hitters conversation.
Yeah, we had a it's off season or the non-playing season.
It's a good banter, man. I like it.
So we posted on the website yesterday photo gallery and an article with top 5 hardest hitters in Falcons history, and I spent about 2 weeks on this, just kind of like getting feedback on Twitter, reading about things. I've looked at half the videos that you know are out there on Novus, and lots and lots of historic footage. And I came up with 5 guys who I think are the top 5 hardest hitters in franchise history.
Yeah,
and I kind of just want to see where you think where we stand. I have number 5, Claude Humphrey. You just mentioned him, 3rd overall pick in the 1968 draft, 2 years after Novus came along. So that's, you hear those two names and you think maybe they should have had a better start than they did.
I know. I think it might have been on the other side of the ball where they struggled a little bit.
This is true.
And Humphrey, just one more thing on him.
Uh-huh.
I think you're dead on with him. He's another guy that the Veterans Committee is always bringing up.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, this guy should be mentioned in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was a finalist in 2009.
Right.
So, and he's one of those guys that, you know, you hear he's 6'4", 252 pounds. You think, well, that's kind of average, you know, for a defensive end, especially in this day's NFL. But back then, that was a freakish athlete size, and he was that guy. He was like that premier pass rusher, one of those. If we talk about the modern day of pass rushers, DeMarcus Ware and those guys, Humphrey kind of set the stage for those guys, so kind of changed the game a little bit. So I got him at number 5. Number 4, I got William Andrews, running back. And Jamal Anderson, another former running back from the Falcons, he and I tweeted back and forth for a couple of days, and he kind of convinced me that this is a good choice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. So I went with him. Number three, I got Novus, Mr. Falcon again, and those hours and hours of video of him slinging guys around like he's Superman. Number two, Scott Case. Mm. That was the name that repeatedly came up, and it was a toss-up. It was tough. It was tough for me to put him at number two because so many people thought he was the hardest hitter in franchise history, even though his career wasn't as highlight-filled and as lucrative as some other guys, but he did spend 11 seasons with the Falcons. Number one, I got, you know, the Hammer.
Yes.
I think he's Jesse Tuggle.
Easy number one.
Yeah, just he absolutely the amount of time he did it and how hard he did it every Sunday.
Now, this is the first time I've heard your list. Where was William Moore on this conversation?
He was in there, and I pulled up some of my notes. I got some honorable mention guys that didn't make the cut. William Moore was on there. Chuck Smith.
Yeah.
Craig Hayward. Ironhead Hayward.
Golly, that's a good one.
Let's see, who else do I have?
Was Hall mentioned in there? Travis Hall at all?
Uh-uh.
He was here my first year, and he was a Hall, the defensive end.
Travis Hall. I got you. Okay.
He was good. He's a good player.
Here's a great name that, and we try to keep up on Falcons history. We do our best to know what we know. But here's a name that came up that I wasn't that familiar with, and I don't even know his first name. Honestly, I just found his nickname, Captain Crazy Klukendahl. Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, no.
He was a linebacker in mid in the 70s. He was part of the grit splits. In fact, I think he was injured that season, but he was part of it. He was a linebacker, and just he doesn't have overwhelming stats, but just from everything I read about him and fans that saw him play described this guy that was just he would just literally throw his body all over the field and just reckless abandon. Just that's how he played. So
the grits blitz, like the guys on that team. If you ever watch, there's another. I'm the video guy, so I see all these highlight films that we have to cut up for different events. And there's one on Jerry Glanville of the grits blitz, and those guys. I mean, those. The rumor is when Joe Namath went to the LA Rams, and it was like a big deal, and the grits blitz. That the first game was the Falcons against them and the rumor is that they beat him up so bad that they had to like put a protective like bubble wrap over him for the flight home because he was that banged up. I mean and Jerry Glanville it's another thing we need to put it online, but there's some rights stuff, but we're working on that with NFL Films. But he says, we went vanilla. That's when they had six games in the preseason. He's like, we went vanilla all six games. And then he's like, and then that first game against Joe Namath, he's like, we blitzed every time but two. And he's like, rumor has it they had to bubble wrap Joe Namath up and put him on the play. I mean, that team had some hard hitters. But, they kind of were just all in one, a one unit kind of thing. That's a great name. That's good. I'm thinking when you're saying this, I Humphreys, Nobis, Scott Case. That's a great name because that guy was awesome.
Yeah,
I mean he had no regard for his body. Same thing when I watch some of these videos through our camera. I'm gonna throw a name that is just you won't even remember, but it was
okay.
It was 04. It was the guy on special teams. His name was Eric Johnson, and he was crazy. I mean he was crazy. I've never seen a guy just throw his body around with just no remorse. And he played on special teams. He's a backup linebacker. There's one play I filmed him, and he hit a guy so hard his helmet came off, his helmet. And he got back up and hit the guy again. And I was like, that is just – and I showed him that clip, and he didn't even remember his helmet coming off. That's what an animal
that's
he was
hilarious.
Out there. Some other guys like that are, Akeem Dent is a guy that on special teams.
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget that hit as a rookie
Detroit,
on special
right?
teams.
Yes. It looked like the guy hit a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I'm thinking some of the guys, some of the hardest hits, and that's another reason they're changing the rules, is on special teams, on, you know, the guys going into the wedge. Yeah. And I love filming that. You know, watch Anton mm-hmm. Smith. I mean, watch, that's why he's still on this team.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And got re-signed.
Thank you.
He goes down and just, you know, he's the first on down there mm-hmm. and bust the wedge up. And it's, you know, guys like that are some of your hardest hitters that, you know, kind of go unknown because they don't always play on the defensive end. John Abraham,
I would throw in there
as a guy that just really, you know, would hit very hard.
Here's a name that no one's heard of unless you were following the Falcons closely. It's a name like you'd mentioned with Eric Johnson. You remember Artie Ulmer.
I almost said Artie Ulmer.
I love that. He was another special teams guy that would take somebody's head off.
From Valdosta State, correct? Yeah. He was a great guy. And then funny story about Artie Ulmer, after he left the Falcons, I was in a men's softball league, and we played a team, and Artie Ulmer was on it.
Okay.
And it was like guys that looked – it was him and a bunch of guys that looked like him, and they hit the home run limit in the first inning. they couldn't hit any more home runs against us.
Oh, wow.
They were that, you know. I obviously didn't fare too well against Artie Ulmer's team.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, that guy was awesome. Travis Jervy is another name
mm-hmm. okay.
that on special teams that played with Artie Ulmer that just, you know, one of – remember Joe DeCamillis, our special teams guy?
Yeah.
He was, you know, I got to have Artie Ulmer on this team.
That's awesome.
Guys like that are fun. You know, I would say William Moore has got to be up there, though. I love how he hits. And then I like your running back one because – some of the fullbacks that came to mind was, you know, a guy like Justin Griffith
and
Fred McCrary, guys that were just, you know, would clear the way for some of those guys.
Ovi Mihaly is another.
Yeah, Ovi Mihaly, mm-hmm. great.
And you know, we're speaking of current, you know, right. or not current, right. but, you know, more recent players. Michael Turner is.
Yes.
Yeah. The nickname, the burner, never, it was a confusing nickname.
Yeah.
But he ran over people.
The clip. I mean, we're just now having to start to part ways with it. The clip that we always use in highlights is that clip against Tennessee where I think Wes Durham was like, check the license plate imprint on that guy because it looked like he got hit by a bus. it was good, man.
Okay, I do remember that. Yeah.
So, no, you're exactly right. And it'll be fun to watch Steven Jackson, you know, I think.
Yeah, totally.
We were watching our – strength coach AJ Naiman, he came up here to thank us for something, and we were asking him how it was going down there, and a little more insight, you know, for you guys. But you know, he was saying, you know, Steven Jackson is intense down in this weight room. You know,
wow.
he's telling guys, hey, let's go, give me one more pull up, give me one
That's
more,
awesome.
You know, lift, and then he's like, have you guys looked on YouTube, Steven Jackson versus Patrick Willis, and there's a clip where, I mean, he stands Patrick Willis up, and no one goes to the ground, which is rare. I mean, they had to blow the whistle where they just, you know, Steven Jackson's, his legs are not, they do not stop moving.
Oh, wow.
Pushes Patrick Willis back. I mean, it is a collision. So that'll be fun, you know, to watch this year. I think he can start being mentioned in the hardest hitting category.
Yeah, I see it. It's like, yeah, they're like two bulls just
right.
Like,
I mean,
head to head.
That is the
and they don't stop. They just keep going.
It's one of those things
really
you learn in science
still,
class where two unmovable, you know, two movable objects will not budge. So yeah, I mean, it's gonna be fun to watch him. I think he will be, if we did this conversation next year, he's gotta be mentioned in that for sure.
He's a guy I'm looking forward to for sure. This
what
season.
About what are you know, let's continue that conversation. Just you said you've been coming to the Falcons since what, about 07?
08? No, 08. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In some of the games you've seen, are there some guys from the other team that that you can remember being hard hitters? Because there's one that comes to mind is and of course I'm drawing a blank right now, the safety from Brian Dawkins.
There you go.
From the
there
Eagles.
You go.
I've never seen a guy or heard a hit.
Yeah.
Being, you know, when we're on the sidelines, like you can just feel the
oh,
hit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he hit Algie Crumpler so hard one time. And Algie will, to this day, if we had him on right now, hey, Algie, remember that hit? And I've mentioned this to him, you know, when he's come up here doing stuff for CBS, and he's like, he goes, I still cringe thinking of that hit. He's like, there's not a close second place to how hard I got hit. And we could probably find that clip on YouTube, too, and look for that. But that, you know, that guy is one of the guys that comes to mind where you're just, and Ed Reed. You know, some
I think
of
in Carolina, Thomas Davis.
Yes.
From Georgia.
Yes.
You know, he has some injury issues, I think. But when he was in his prime, you know, a couple of years ago, he was one of those guys I loved to watch hit.
Right, right. It's you know, it that's why I think we love the game so much, because you remember those hits. And,
yeah.
And, but hopefully we have more than the other guys. But I just, when you mention hardest hits, I always remember that Brian Dawkins hit.
Uh-huh.
And what's funny that 2 years before that, he hit Mike Vick just about as hard. I mean,
yeah,
the guy, he's going to be interesting to see how his body is in a few years. When we
no,
see him
no doubt. No doubt. I've heard he's one of the most intense guys ever, that's ever played, from what
right.
I heard about Dawkins.
Yeah. Yeah,
To wrap this up, just, you know, one of my favorite hits, Jaquizz Rogers on Earl Thomas.
Oh, right, yeah,
in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
That, yeah.
Absolutely.
That was awesome.
And you know, what's funny, watch guys like Quiz and guys like, you know, Julio and Roddy out there, because they're physical, and that's, you know, they're not scared to hit or throw that block too. And that's,
yeah.
You know, that's, it's a fun thing to watch. Coach Rubisky, our wide receivers coach, almost put more emphasis on their blocking.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when we asked him one time, hey, what is it going to take to win this game? He's like, I don't care if they have one catch, they better block. These guys, you know, if they don't block, we're not going to win. And,
yeah.
And that was, it's fun to, you're never going to mention Julio or Roddy as the hardest hitters or
no.
even Quiz. But you're right, some of those blocks that they throw are very physical, and it's fun to, you know, and it makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Difference.
Absolutely.
That's good. Well,
you know, the talk around here, especially Jay and I, have talked endlessly about the draft leading up to the draft and the days after the draft. We've discussed the Falcons' top two picks, Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford, two cornerbacks taken with the top two picks. We've discussed them at length. And then last week, I think it was last week, you were in Jay's office and we were all in there and we were talking about, you know, those guys, especially those two guys, Alford and Trufant. And you mentioned, you know, you've mentioned it a couple times here, just all the film and all the video footage that you watch from a lot of the things that you capture at practices. And we just finished up the rookie mini camp, I believe. And you had some interesting thoughts on Trufant and Alford from watching the video. I just wanted to...
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's kind of fun to, because we watch it through our lens and then we bring it back into house and watch it in our computers and you hear the sound. So two things I took away is, the one thing, I was just really excited because I think I came in first thing and I said, we got two good players.
Yeah.
And it's fun because a rookie mini camp, one of the things, I mean, they overload these guys.
Yeah,
I'm sure
totally.
You talked about it. So that, they're expected to make mistakes and kind of get chewed out by the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learning, teachable moments, I call it.
Yes.
When I filmed Trufant and Alford, all I heard was, great job, that's perfect. You know, they, absolutely.
Nice.
Great job. Just there, and they were working on footwork and where to be. And I was like, this is rare. I've been to a lot of rookie mini camps in my day, and that's rare to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I noticed was just, you know, when they partner up and when you have to do, even on special teams, when they're not in their position group, it was really fun to see the camaraderie between Alford and Trufant already.
Yeah.
You can already tell they're you know, they're kind of joined at the hip.
Uh-huh.
And that's, how great is that? They're already kind of on the same page, helping each other out. But I was very excited just to see just that, man, they already get this, and you know, they know what they're doing, and these coaches are throwing things at them that they've never seen before, and they're picking up on it. And you know, Tim Lewis is not the easiest guy, our cornerback coach, to please, and he was pleased, and that's fun. And the other thing, I don't know if you guys touched on it, was the two safeties, Mata and Ishmael. They look like they should have been a little higher picked.
Yeah.
And it's just a rookie mini camp. Mm-hmm. I know. And it's not full speed. It's not, you know, they haven't been around the other guys yet.
Right.
Just from first glance, you know, through the lens,
and
you notice them. And I think that's once again, you know, if you find those diamonds in the rough, like we've been doing, that's great. And it's going to be fun because those are the guys that, you know, they'll step in when needed. But like we were talking about, they're the guys who are going to be making those hits on special teams too. And if they're already getting it out there and getting noticed, I mean, that is great.
I think it's the whole draft class is indicative of just this idea of bringing in players that are very consistent and stable, you know? And that's what I saw when I saw those, you know, Mata and Ishmael, just guys that look like they're going to be able to get it and just give you depth and be keep you comfortable until they need to step in someday.
And I know you and Jay have probably talked at length because all I heard, another team captain's drafted.
We've heard the story.
But isn't it fun that when you do these camps and these rookie camps that you're not having to teach them how to play football.
Right.
Because they know what they're doing and they're coachable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, oh, no, come on, you need to be over here. What are you doing? It's, hey, I like that you're over here. You get that. Why don't you try this? And that's going to be, their development's going to be, you know,
absolutely
so much at a faster level for them to develop in this game. And that's where I think the guys on the other side of this building get it. I mean,
yeah.
And totally. Now you kind of, the light bulb goes off in your head. You're like, oh, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So
exactly.
It's really cool.
It's team building 101.
Absolutely. All right. So the Falcon Flash, those are good stuff, Daniel. Good. I love the discussion. It's always fun to, man, how can you not put this guy in there? But
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we do regardless of whether we're recording it or
not. It's good. All right. Yeah. I do this all the time. You know, it's funny real quick before we go to Falcon Flash. It's funny that you had this conversation because I was kidding yesterday where, you know, we kind of had the rookie club putting the list together and we've gone through the list of all the rookie clubs and we were with our community relations manager, Chris Millman, and we're like, hey, can you rank these guys? Can we do a bracket of your best community guys, your guys that were best in the community? And he's like, man, that's a great discussion, you know?
Yeah.
We got this guy, but he's done this. Oh, I can't
and that's,
him
that's,
over him.
And yeah, that's when you start getting those stories.
Yeah.
You know, little details that you haven't heard about or
so it's
you
fun.
Just didn't
We're
know.
Always doing that, and it's nice that we can bring that on to the Falcon cast for sure. But Falcon Flash, you know, it looks like you guys do one story from the internet on the Falcons that caught your eye. I see that Dimitrov biking to work this week, and he's done that before. And I've actually, a couple of years ago, I did the bike to the dome with Thomas, and we filmed it. Not sure if I'll...
That was on a game day, right?
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
that was a crazy one.
So, but that's a pretty cool event.
Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow is National Bike to Work Day. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Friday is Bike to Work Day. Just because of logistically, the things that are on Thomas Dimitrov's schedule, who is an avid bike rider, if we don't already know that. He's going to ride his bike from his home somewhere in Buckhead on 7:30 that morning. What is this? Oh, I'm sorry. He is doing it on Friday.
Yeah,
for some reason, I thought it was Thursday.
Friday,
He's riding it on National Bike to Work Day.
They meet at the Publix in Buckhead, and then they're going to bike to the Dome.
To the Dome. And last year, he rode from...
That Publix to here.
To here, which is around 40 miles. I drive. I don't live in Buckhead, but I live in Sandy Springs. It's kind of same vicinity.
That's
a hike.
That's aggressive.
That's a drive.
So this one might be better for Thomas.
You
know, but he could do it.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, that might be an easier little.
He's not going to want to do anything else. I don't know how much more he had to do that day, but I just think it's cool. I respect Thomas for kind of being who he is and having the interest that he has. And they're not the stereotypical things that you would think of when you start thinking about football general managers. And I appreciate that he kind of does his own thing. And this is just another example of that.
It's great that we have a general manager who has true beliefs and stuff that he believes in. And actually carries it out. You know, the guy loves bike riding. He loves Mother Earth. You know, I mean, he's an Earth guy. So, you know, we've had to do green videos with him, and he's the head of the green initiative for the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
Not just the general manager. I mean, he oversees that and requested to because it's something he believes in, and it's just nice to see that, you know, he's an avid bike rider, so he's going to join with the Atlanta Biking Coalition and the ABC, I believe they call it, and do that. And it's cool that, you know, he could easily just say, oh, that's great, and you guys are doing it, but he's actually going to do it, and that's cool.
I think it's awesome.
I think that's awesome.
And last year, it seemed like it was on the day of the State of the Franchise last year, so that's what got me thinking about
that.
And you mentioned it earlier, State of the Franchise, you'll catch it live on AtlantaFalcons.com if you're not able to be there. And you kind of mentioned what it's all about. It's truly just that. It's the leadership of this organization getting together and discussing, you know, what's going on with the franchise, the future, the current state. You know, what the season's going to look like. And of course, we have an exciting future because, you know, we're involved in the stadium. Rich McKay will speak on that extensively, and I'm sure he will be asked a lot of questions. Those that are in attendance have the opportunity to ask questions and things. And there may be some special guests. I know we've always had guests in the past as well, so
it could be.
It'll be fun.
I think there's a rumor there could be some special guests to look out for, and it's just nice. If you're watching, it's going to be a really cool stage. I've seen kind of the layout, and it's.
It gets bigger every year.
Wait till you see what the other Roddy White, our director of event marketing, has done this year, because you're going to be like, wow.
That's cool.
How can it get bigger than this? It's going to be a really cool stage.
I can't wait to see it.
It's going to be awesome.
Can't wait to see it.
So, yeah, that'll be good. Definitely tune in to AtlantaFalcons.com with that. One thing I'll say that caught my eye, and I actually put a piece together yesterday, and didn't really know all about it until I was putting it together, is congratulations to Warwick Dunn.
Getting
his MBA from Emory, the business school there. That's really cool. And if you've ever, read anything or met Warwick Dunn, it's not surprising because he's a super guy. And always, I think we said in the piece, he really goes by Arthur Blank's mantra, and that there is no finish line. And, you know, the guy, he could have just stopped. I mean, he's got the great foundation we know about. He is a limited partner for the Atlanta Falcons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's like, nah, that's not enough. I think one quote that was in that story is like, you know, I'm with all these CEOs and CFOs in these meetings. And he's like, now they cannot look at me just as a former player because I have an MBA in business. And how great is that for him?
That is really
awesome. Congrats
to
Warwick. We're happy for you here at the Falcons, and you know, couldn't be prouder of you. And good work, and can't wait to see what's next for you. Maybe go get your doctorate, your PhD. So.
Or just pick a new subject.
Yeah, have fun.
Completely new career.
Have fun with that. All right, wrap it up and parting thoughts. So I think what we wanted to do here is your favorite Mike Smith saying.
Yeah, you have a mind like a sponge, and anything that's mildly humorous or funny or quirky, or someone trips across the field, you're going to see it. You're the guy that you notice all these things. So I figured, and you might need a moment, but I figured you'd have some good ones. And I'll start it off. I have a handful that, again, Coach Smith's been here since 2008. I've been in media sessions with him since 2009. So I've heard him say, I'd like to think I've heard him speak just about every word he said as the Falcons head coach publicly. So, one of my favorite things to hear Mike Smith say, not favorite, but it's something that he says a lot, and it makes good sense. Indoctrinate.
Yep.
He's always talking about indoctrinating players into the Falcons' way or his way or like the team's way of doing things, and the indoctrination process.
The process.
That's a good one. Which, yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, he remembers conversations very well, and he'll always say, "It's like I said before." Certain times of the year, player or media is not allowed to ask about, health situations, injury situations, and things like that. And Coach Smith just simply won't speak about it because he's not required to. And so he'll kind of say, "It's like I said before, guys, we're not talking about that until whenever." But probably the thing I like most that he says very often, is he talks about relevancy, being relevant. His whole goal as a football team is to be relevant in November and December, and he said that repeatedly. And what I love about some of the things he says is it trickles down. You start to hear players repeating those things, and that's just one of those things where you hear it and you're like, okay, that guy's listening.
Yeah, those are great. I love indoctrinate. That was one that came to mind. I love that it's so simple. Is guys, because it's post game series, guys, and then it always starts from there. That was good.
Yeah,
and then I love. I love when he gets excited too, because you can tell he wants to say so much, and he just doesn't. It just all doesn't come out at once, and he gets almost stumbled. He doesn't get stumbled. He's just so excited.
Uh-huh.
I love after a big win when we really, you know, put it on another team, and the post game speech where he's just like, "That's how you do it," and just gets so excited. Hey, one other funny story. Here's another insight, Dan,
okay,
that you're gonna get from me. It involves Mike Smith, and he's probably gonna kill me for telling this story. So the golf tournament the other day,
okay,
Phil Niekro,
okay,
his loss is mine. The guy comes to the hole, hole 17, and he's holding a green towel. And he walks up to Coach Smith. Coach is going to go shake Phil Niekro, Hall of Famer's hand. Mm-hmm. Phil Niekro goes, "Look what I found." He's like right up against Coach Smith. Pulls out a fake rattlesnake, like throws it at Coach Smith.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought Coach was going to drop. Coach's "Oh, my gosh." Like, thinks it's a real snake.
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone's like, "You can't do that to the head coach."
Oh, my gosh.
Dave Archer's in his group. He's like, "Okay, you can do that to cart girls. You can't do that to our head coach, man. We need him here. You're trying to kill him?"
Oh,
and,
wow.
And literally, Coach, it was awesome because Coach was like, "All right, I'm getting you back for that."
Nice.
He goes, "I'm getting you back." He goes, "Just wait." But it was just, we're like, did Phil Niekro just try to kill our coach? And then, so that's hole 17. They go around the corner to hole 18. And you hear Dave Archer go, if you don't know, my nickname's Mookie to all these guys. And he goes, "Hey, Mookie, wait for it." And then you just hear these three girls who are at the next hole go, "Ah!" We're like, Phil Niekro pulled pulled the rattlesnake out of the towel again. So, but yeah, Coach is a true, that was good. Just one thing, what we love him so much and why he's on your Mount Rushmore. And
absolutely.
Probably should be mine is that he's just a true guy's guy, you know? If you were at a sports bar, mm-hmm. he would belly right up next to you and talk shop.
Yeah,
and that's why
I have a ton of respect for the guy.
Yeah.
You can confirm this, and this would be it for our waxing poetic on the old days. I heard that, and I was not here then, but when Coach Smith was hired, his first day in the building, he walked around and shook everyone's hand in the building and thanked them for not just being here, but enjoying the job that they do.
Yeah, and he did. That is very true. And then whenever we have all associates meetings,
mm-hmm.
He's the first one, and sometimes the only one, to say, "Hey, my team's doing good, but I want you to know you're all part of the team too, and I appreciate what you guys are doing for us." You know, he goes, "I see you out there at, you know, Friday Night Lights. I see you at training camp." He goes, He's the first one to notice what you're doing. And I also have the privilege of doing the coffee with Coach with him, you know, meeting him at McDonald's at 6:30. And, you know, he makes sure that you have your safety belt on. You know, he's like, he's just a good guy.
He really is.
Sure. "Hey, Matt, do you need me to turn this light on, even though it's going to hinder my driving?" And I'm like, no. And he's like, "Whatever you need." I mean, he's, And one other thing, then we'll quit. Glorifying Coach Smith, even though he's the best. I mean, I that's what you don't realize is what a great guy we have here. And so, when you do a commercial with him or a PSA with him, he's like, "Now, if that doesn't work for you, come back." He goes, "Just make it good. You can make that good, right?" And then you'll see him in the hall 2 days later, and he goes, "How did that go?" And, you know,
that's
not every coach in the league is going to be doing that. And it's a small percentage. So here's to you, Coach Smith. We've given you your due today. I hope. But yeah, Daniel, it was a pleasure doing this podcast with you. I guess Jay will be back from sunny Buffalo, New York. Jay, I hope you had a good time up there. Now come back and get back to work. It's a pleasure as always, Daniel. We'll see you at the State of the Franchise. And are you going to the bike ride? Are you gonna?
I will not be at the bike ride. But I'll be there Thursday night for State of the Franchise.
Sounds good. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up. Check back next week on AtlantaFalcons.com for FalconCast. We enjoyed it. Talk to you later.